Blog Talk Radio.
T minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. All three engines up and burning. 2, 1, 0, and lift off.
Coach on Fire Radio.
I am the tire.
Welcome, welcome everybody to Step Up and Speak Out with Trish. I'm Trish Springsteen, a public speaking mentor, coach and author, and I love to mentor published authors, introverts and advocates to have the confidence and the clarity to step up and speak out and share their message with those who need to hear it. Now, I'm looking forward to a lot of call-ins today. We've got a great speaker that I'm going to be interviewing. If you want to call in with a question in North America, it's 646-716-7979. And outside North America, you follow the Listen Live link, which you would have done to call in. That's tobtr.com/88 39739, then follow the links to open up the chat line, or you can private message me on Facebook. It will come up, put your question into there, and I will answer that question, or Jan will answer that question. Which brings us to my guest today. It's my pleasure to have as my guest Jan Muir, who's an author, a speaker, and an advocate. Welcome, Jan.
Good morning, Trish. Good morning, listeners.
Good morning. We'll be speaking with Jan soon and learning more about Jan and how lessons from her life and her book, The Well-Used Key, have helped her to step up and speak out. Firstly, let's have a look at my usual segment, which is the frequently asked question that I get. And today's question is, and I think it's one that's probably on everybody's thoughts at one time or another, it's how do I answer impromptu questions? You know, those questions that come from left field. You could be in a meeting and someone in the meeting suddenly asks you a question and you're thinking, oh my gosh, what do I say? And you probably come up with a few words and then a couple of hours later, or you're back at your desk, you're thinking, oh, why didn't I say that? Could have said that. I could have sounded so much better. Or it could be that you've been asked to go on a radio show or live TV, or a journalist is talking to you and they ask you a question straight out of left field and the same thing happens. You may mumble something and then after that interview you think, oh, I could have done that better. So how can you do those? How can you answer those questions that you're not prepared for? Well, one of the things that happens when we get those questions is we're so concerned that we suddenly got this strange question that we don't actually listen to the question all the way through. Our brain kicks in and we start fumbling around inside our brain thinking, well, what am I going to say? Why did they ask me that question? I don't know it. Then you open up your mouth and you put an answer, and because you haven't listened to the question all the way through, you may actually answer the question that you thought was being asked instead of the question that should have been asked. Or you might start to listen to that question and again that brain kicks in and you open up your mouth because you don't like silence and you start speaking really quickly and you start to waffle. And all those good things that you might have had in answer to that question may be lost in the waffle. So here are four points that you can use to start when faced with those unexpected questions. The first one is listen. Listen all the way through. Listen to the question that is being asked. And I mean active listening, not just hearing the noise. What is active listening? Well, I think I may have mentioned this before in another show, but just to recap, for example, when you wake up in the morning and you hear that chorus of birds, it's beautiful music. However, if you really focus and listen very carefully, you can pick out one bird song in that chorus. That is active listening. So it's concentrating completely on the person who is asking your question and listening all the way through until that question has been asked. The second thing that you should think about is whether you need to clarify. Strangely enough, people, not everybody knows how to ask a question and how to ask it clearly or concisely. So if you're not sure on what you are being asked, by all means, clarify the question. You won't look silly. In fact, you will look very professional and sound very professional because you are giving the questioner, the person that is asking the question, time to clarify it. And you are making sure that you are giving them due consideration before you answer. So if you're not sure, clarify. And the third thing is think. You don't need to open your mouth and step in and speak straight away. It's perfectly okay to think about the question, to give yourself some time to formulate that answer. It seems like a long time in your head, but outside it's only a short time. So you've got plenty of time, a few seconds, 20 seconds, 30 seconds, to think about how you're going to formulate that answer. And then, only then, do you open your mouth and answer the question. Now that's the beginnings of how to answer an impromptu question. With those four tips, I'm sure you're going to be able to think about impromptu questions in a different way. There is a formula on how you can actually formulate your answer to sound concise and coherent and competent. And I'll deal with that formula on my next show. So you'll have to tune in to listen to hear what the formula is that you can add to those four parts of being able to answer impromptu questions clearly, concisely, and competently. Now remember, I share tips and techniques and strategies each show. If there is something you would like answered, email me on info@trishel.com.au. That's info@trishel.com.au. Then tune into the next show to hear your answer. Now it's my great pleasure to meet our guest and introduce our guest for today's show. Our guest, Jan Muir, is an author, a speaker, and an advocate. And I've got a bit of a bio here to share with you about Jan's life. She has had a very interesting life. So her bio is quite interesting. She led a relatively quiet life until she faced a few of life's adversities. And I would say there's more than a few of life's adversities in here. Facing these, she gained her true strength to fight and keep the dream alive. Jan first achieved success as a young 10-year-old when she reached state championships in athletics in Australia with a gold medal. It was in her athletic pathway that she showed great potential, and her dream was an Olympic medal, and she had a good chance of getting there. However, that dream and goal of reaching more gold was gone in one split second when a comment from a family member, a comment that shattered her dreams, and she never ran again. Jan has witnessed and experienced many life-changing events since then, including the loss of her partner of 30 years to Alzheimer's dementia, being diagnosed with cervical cancer, getting the all clear, then 6 short months later, she was diagnosed in 2006 with breast cancer and faced radical surgery to have to fight to keep her dreams alive again. In 2012, Jan faced being retrenched from her long career in the public service after having been employed for over 30 years. She self-published her first book in late 2012 and then rewrote it again in 2015, and this has led her on a path of new discovery to want to write more. She currently has 7 books on the go with her publishing team all falling into place. Her inspiration is mainly to inspire the young adult to see themselves already achieving what they desire in life. The lessons from her book are adaptable and can be applied by anyone in life. One of those books is her athletic days and the journey of her life and what she learnt along the way. Jan's going to share with us today her lessons from her life and her book, The Well-Used Key, and how to get from where you are to where you want to be. And she should sure know. Hi, Jan. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Trish. Thank you for asking me on.
Oh, my pleasure, Jan. I believe after all the things that you have faced in your life and where you are now, you've surely got some great inspirational things to teach us and show us so that we can see how to do what you've done. I think the first thing I'd like to ask you is, why did you write your book, The Well-Used Key?
Trish, one of those times in life when you face an adversity and you just ponder on where you are in life. And I think for me, it was a case of, I'd done a lot of personal development. Then I was faced with, through breast cancer, and it became a situation for me that all the knowledge that I had acquired over the period of time, what could I do with it? It was all great for me, but I wanted to do something else to give back. So for me, it was a situation of taking all of the knowledge and putting it into one book, but bringing it back so that a teenager was able to apply the principles. If I, as a teenager or 10-year-old, was able to put a goal out there that I wanted to win a gold medal and go on and win, then if I could do it, it was applicable for anybody else. It's just knowing how to. So that basically brings the roundness of the book coming together and the reasons and the purpose.
Great. And who do you really want to reach with this book? What's the message that you are hoping that they're going to be able to take away?
Primarily, Trish, it really aims at identifying for the teenager, because it's something that is not taught in schools, how powerful the mind really is. One section of the book we actually write on how to get a better school grade. Now, we're all told we've got to study, we've got to do, you know, the research, we've got to write the brilliant essay. But really it comes back to, what is that goal, end result that you want? And if we put it down as an intention at the beginning of the semester or the beginning of the term, however the allotments of schooling is, and we say, right, we want to get a B for English and a, you know, an A for math, being whatever that strength is for you, we bring it down to the point of having a report card, and you copy your past report card and you create a fresh template and you enter all of your results there. Then you focus on that and that becomes your end result. You must do the work, you must do the research, but you keep the focus on, you want to get that A, you want to get that result for whatever that subject is.
So let me get this right. What you're saying is it would be very good for the teenagers is to get a blank report card at the beginning of a semester, then to put into that report card the grade that they want to achieve at the end
Correct.
Of that semester, so that when they stick that up in front of them, when they're doing all their work and when things might be getting a bit hard, they've got a focus of, well, this is what I want to see at the end of the semester?
Correct.
That's correct?
Correct. Yeah. The thing is that when we do that, when we actually put a focus or an intention out there that this is what we want, and then we focus on that, we keep igniting the brain with that particular thought. We stay with that thought because, yes, that's the result I want to get. What else do I have to do to be able to get that result? Now, it all depends on all of the shiny objects out there. Mary might want you to go to the, to the pictures, and Johnny may want you to go and do something else. You've got to come back and say, okay, is this going to align to what my end result is? And the bottom is, yes, it does, or no, it doesn't. You make that choice as to whether it will or it will not reach that end goal of getting that result that you want in the report card.
So it really is up to us, but the focus is something that is not that hard to do. It's something that we can all train our brains to do and achieve. And you've got results from yourself that you've done this, haven't you?
Yep. See, one of the things I didn't know as a 10-year-old was when I look back on my life, the coach that I had for athletics was actually giving me all the goals because he made me get on the mark, run through the race, but he told me to see what the end result was. And I had to tell him every time we were at training, what's my end result? A gold medal. What's my end result? A gold medal. No matter whether I skipped the 100 metres, 70 metres, I hopped, I did whatever had to be done, what's the end result? A gold medal. So I was forever saying a gold medal, a gold medal, a gold medal. To go out then in the state championships and do the exercise of, right, I'm in the race, I only saw as I looked down my lane, what? A gold medal. And that was the only thing that got me there. Yes, I had speed. Yes, I'd done the training. Yes, I'd put in the extra hard yards to get myself fit, stay within a healthy diet. But the end result was the focus, a gold medal. I stood on the dais, number one, with a gold medal around my neck.
Yeah, well done. And then what happened was that there was that chance comment. So do you want to speak a little bit about that and how chance comments can influence young people's lives if we don't hold to that focus?
Mm. Look, as we're growing, there are so many comments, so many opportunities, and we're listening to a lot of outside chatter, the outside influence of people saying, do this, do that. We have to stay very, very strong. I also use the word congruent to ourselves because we know inside ourselves what we want, and it does not always mean we're going to do what Mary wants, we're going to do what Johnny wants. When that comment was said to me as a in a family group, I wasn't aware just what was happening in my mind. What I can recall in my feeling in my body was, oh, somebody doesn't believe I can do it. Oh, maybe I can't. And I let that become the strongest point of focus in my head. Oh, maybe I can't win a gold medal anymore. Maybe I'm not strong enough to win. And my whole training aspect became, oh, well, I don't have to try anymore. And I didn't realize what was happening at that time because nobody told me, nobody else understood at that point. We are talking nearly 50 years ago. You know, just how powerful the mind is. So we have to be very, very strong in ourselves. When Johnny and Henry say something, that's not necessarily for you. That's for them. You stay congruent with your own thought patterns, your own beliefs. You can do this and you keep the focus strong. I'm holding my fist tight as if I'm punching through the air here, Trish. I just want that to happen for everybody.
Yes, I know how passionate you are because it is, and I see it myself with everybody, it's very easy to let those little negative thoughts that are ignited from offhand comments, and we must stress that it's not necessarily that these people are trying to bring us down, it's an offhand comment that they don't realise just how it is, and we take that on board, and we need to realise that our perceptions of comments need to be filtered. Because our perceptions are not necessarily what that comment was meant. And
correct.
I think you might agree. We take that on board, that perception of that comment, and we hear it through our little negative voice that starts to do it. And it probably wasn't anything that the person saying it really, you know, it was just, oh, yeah, you know, this is a comment. Oh, and how often does that happen to children?
Look, it happens to children very, very a lot. Because if you get a parent that is not in alignment with what the child's ambitions are, and the parent's view is, oh, you can't do that, Johnny, or that's not right for you, Johnny, or, oh, don't do that, Johnny. The bottom line is this. When we hear that coming from the authority person, i.e. the parent, the child gets the belief that that's not right. It takes a strong child to stand back up to the parent and say, well, actually, I don't agree with that, Mum or Dad, whoever's saying it. I agree that what I believe is possible, I'd like to give it a try. Will you support me? Now, the average child doesn't even ask that because the parent is very, very strong and stern in saying, you can't do that. In some cases, that problem is not the child's. It's actually what the parent never got the opportunity to achieve in life, and they're not allowing that to achieve in their children. So, you know, it's a double-ended sword, really, because in so many ways the parents aren't even aware what they're saying, but they're realising that the impact is on the child.
And I think that's probably where I think your book has a great power. Whilst I believe you wrote it for the teenagers, it's probably very powerful for the parents as well. And if we step a book back now and look at it, reading it myself, I realise that there's a lot in there for the business person and for the individual, because some of the things you're saying, it not just applies to children, but to the business owner and entrepreneur as well. Is that not right?
Look, Trish, I studied Think and Grow Rich 3 times before I really got the full appreciation of what it was. And we can apply it to any facet, any point, any situation in our life. What we have to be is very, very true to ourselves, that it's genuinely what we want for ourselves. So applying any of the principles from my book, from Think and Grow Rich, written by Napoleon Hill, from any other person's book that's been written as an inspiration to take whatever that dream is forward, you have to say what is in alignment with you. And everybody else's views has been their experiences, what they've achieved. I don't say I'm any better or any worse. I just say it as I actually experienced it. And somebody out there will say, wow, I had some of this. Oh, yeah, that happened to me, some of that. But they'll pick up something from somebody else. It's a ripple effect from the moment you make that decision that you want to move forward. You've got to stay in focus with that and stay in alignment with it.
And that's not always easy to do, is it, Jan? Because if we don't know ourselves, it makes it hard. So have you got some thoughts on how we can shine a light for us to realise within, because it's where it starts?
In many ways, when we look at an old principle and we bring that principle into our everyday life here, Think and Grow Rich was written back in the 1930s. But it's take a thought, identify with that thought that's something that we want to achieve, and then we make the focus on that. But sometimes we don't know how to do it. Sometimes we don't know what it is that we want to do. We actually have to just sit quietly and become aware of what that strong element inside you. Some people might sit and draw, and they'll draw a building, or they'll draw something that is of a mechanical framework. That's an indication that they're strong in that area. And maybe that's an alignment towards, you know, becoming an engineer, a building designer, a bridge designer, whatever, an architect for that matter. You may have a situation where you want to explore food. And, you know, you're always there helping mum or being in the kitchen trying to bring something together. It's also an indication of, wow, that person's got a strong stream towards cooking. They may become a great chef. They may become a menu planner. They may become somebody who can, you know, look at the food concept and create something new. It's a feeling we know and we have inside, each and every one of us at some point in time. Now, let me stress something here. If you think of something on the negative side, i.e., I want more money, oh, just go out and rob a bank, and that's the focus that you keep and you go out and do that, then the negative consequences will come back with that. Because eventually you will get caught out. Eventually something will stop you, or you'll be caught in the actual action. Whereas if you come from the positive side and ask yourself the question, so what else could I do that could move me in the step towards being a cook? We'll use that as the example in this case. What else can I do? What else can mum and dad share with me when they cook? You know, how to find the best recipe on the internet that, you know, is exotic food. We have to ask ourselves specific questions to move us to the next step, but it applies both negatively and positively, and the consequences of the results will occur according to that thought pattern.
Now, that's pretty profound. And do you think it's something that children can really grab, or do we need to have more books like you, more people like you who are open to focusing and guiding children's thoughts?
Tricia, very interesting question. I think a situation is we've come a very full circle in life, because with our own parents and our grandparents, and as I say, I'm in my late 50s, so we went through a phase where if you didn't have enough money, you didn't necessarily, you know, get to be, you know, up there, because in some cases, using the athletic achievement as the example, you're not good enough to do that. Oh, okay, well, maybe I'm not good enough. So you take that on board. My grandson, unbeknownst to my daughter and unbeknownst to my grandson, I whispered in his ear at a very, very early age, because I learned this from reading Think and Grow Rich. And I applied it for my own book. But the exercise I've applied to my grandson is, you are going to be a financial guru. You're a financial genius in your own right, and you understand what the principles of money are, and you understand how to build money, to make money, to share money on, to show the world, you know, that money flows freely and easily to you. Now, my grandson is coming up 8 years of age, and he's already asking Dad for pocket money for if he does a job. He's already, where Dad works, the bosses really grow close to them, and he's actually, okay, well, if you do this, you know, little job, Reese has been able to say, oh, well, will you pay me for that? So, you know, I think that, you know, the idea and the concept is not shared to our children early enough in life. And we get all of this other stuff, the negative chatter that comes in, and we get graded on that. And then the school says, well, you're in this class, and this is in this class. Instead of going to the child and start finding out what they see as a projection, because some kids are very, very clever in knowing what they want to do.
That's true. There's some that are very, very focused, and there are others that are still searching. And do you believe that, in what way do you think people can use your book to really progress this further?
Well, it's a situation of being open to read something that shares a way where you can plan out your life and being open to the ideas and the concepts. Yes, it's going to challenge you. Yes, it's going to, in some ways, you know, be a little bit blunt, because the truth of the matter is you plan for your life. But if you don't know what it is you need to plan for, then it's very hard to plan. I share a way in which that, you know, meditation, there's a lot of change towards meditation, but not everybody understands the full outcomes of meditation. Our brains are so busy. They are so collectively collecting information, they're always on the go. But until we sit quietly and we just allow it to slow down, we can actually allow, in a moment of just listening to very, very quiet meditation music, we can bring the brain down to a point that it's able to slow down and think. And in that moment, sometimes some brilliant ideas can come through. If you've slowed the brain down, then you're able to work out what that next step is. So I share a way of how to use meditation. I share a way in the book of what questions to ask. You know, are we asking the right questions of ourselves? If somebody asks us a question that's very direct, turning that question around so that it's better for you to be able to take the next step. And you question yourself, how can I use this? What's the next step I can do to move towards whatever that, you know, goal is? Do I really have to do my homework? Answer, yes, I do. So what's the outcome of my question? Okay, if I do my homework, I'm likely to get a better result. So, you know, we all have this inside chatter. We all have this inside movement going on, but unless we sit quietly and we work with it, you know, it's just time to become aware and trying to teach that to the young in today's world when there's so much technology out there. It's very hard for them to really realize it. Got to sit quietly to get the best results.
Good luck with that one. We might just take a couple minutes here. Just pause a moment. Just want to remind people that those who are listening in, if you have a question for Jan around what she's been speaking or anything else, you can call in on 646-716-7979 and pose your question. If you're outside North America, as I said, follow that Listen Live link that you've got to access the live chat, or send me a message on Facebook with your question and I'll pass it on to Jan. We're here talking with Jan Muir, a speaker and advocate and author of the book, The Well-Used Key. We've been discussing just how Jan's book can have a great impact on your teenager and even on your own life, with being able to focus on where you want to go, to have questions that will allow you to work out what you don't know and then be aware of the steps to take that. And in the book, there are many techniques that Jan outlines which will help you get where you want to go in your life. I just wanted to come back to that one. I think the information that you just mentioned on meditation is very pertinent today. Meditation allows us to actually listen to ourselves, and it's in that quietness when we listen to ourselves that the answers and the directions come. Do you use meditation yourself, Jan? How has that worked for you?
Trish, I try and do anywhere between 5 and 10 minutes of meditation a day, because I've learned that by just sitting quietly, just pondering, sometimes even before I get out of bed, I'll just wake up, allow 10 to 15 minutes max, just sit there and just breathe, listen to my breath, bring it into a slow and peaceful, calming momentum, and just basically clear my mind of any thoughts that are coming through. It's a situation that we have to do it on a regular basis to be able to know that when we do get stressed, when we do get pressure put on us, okay, I can take a deep breath. What is the next thing I need to do right here, right now? And that's probably one of the most pertinent questions I ask myself all the time. My partner and I have just moved house, so consequently, massive, you know, stress getting packed up. Then you've got to find the house. Then you've got to get it all organized for moving. Then you get into the house. Where am I going to put everything? And you go through a lot of stress because you can't find stuff because it's still packed in the box or whatever. But I find I ask myself, okay, if I can't find something, I will ask myself quietly, point me in the right direction as to where I need to find this object. Take a couple of deep breaths. Breathe in, breathe out. Okay. And then I just let my body move to wherever the body is. I don't necessarily, I'm going to go here or I'm going to go there. I actually just, okay. In most cases, I'll say 8 times out of 10, I will find the object that I am looking for because I haven't forced myself to do anything. When we're in a stressful situation, if I may take a minute here, Trish.
Yes,
one of the things that I've learned, is this. We breathe in through our nose. We breathe out through our mouth. We breathe in through our mouth and we breathe out through our nose. Now, that actually helps the body to change metaphysically in the way in which we are controlling our breath. But it also calms us down. So when you get into a stressful situation, try and remember, take a deep breath in through the mouth, push it out through the nose. Breathe it in through the nose, push it out through the mouth. And after about 2-3 times of doing that, just allow to go back to normal breathing. And you're still feeling a little bit uncomfortable? Okay, 3 more breaths in, 3 more breaths out, through the nose, through the mouth. And you will eventually find that your body will start to cool down and just be very, very peaceful. Then you ask yourself, what is the next thing I need to do to move me forward? Where do I need to look X, Y, Z for whatever it is I'm looking for? Breathing it in and breathing it out. again, and then just let the body go where the body needs to go. And I'm quite confident to say, once you've come to that place, you can tell with my voice even now, I've just come right down. And that's exactly how it happened.
We've probably put all our listeners to sleep or put them into a nice state. So I hope they have not been driving while you've been doing this. Otherwise, there'll be a period of crashes all over North America and maybe some in Australia. But, or maybe we might have just reduced road rage a little bit as well. That was
great. And look, you know, that's the other thing. In road rage, it's all about your breathing. It is all about your breathing. Yeah. So you can just bring, you know, 3 breaths in through the nose and out through the mouth and in through the mouth, out through the nose. You will change the metaphysics of your own body and your breathing will change. If we want to wake them up, Trish, let's move on to the point of setting the focus, setting the intention by writing it out.
Yes. Thank you.
And by making a list. Now, a list is something that won't be a quick fix because it takes a little bit of time of bringing it all together. But when you start to get in tune with exactly, we'll use your school reports as an example, and you know that you want to get an A for science, but you know you're also good at science, then you write yourself a little statement. By the end of whatever let's say June the 30th, I have achieved... Not I want to achieve, I have achieved, because you're already in place of it. I have achieved my science results with an A. And you can elaborate, you can stretch that out, you can write a couple of sentences around how that feels for you. But you must also focus on that. You're also writing a list out of all of the things that you'd like to achieve. Now, when we apply that to something outside of the schoolwork, outside in the big world for what we want to do in life, the principles are exactly the same. I want to get a job. Well, it's not I want to get a job. By such and such a date, I have achieved the receptionist job, you know, at the hospital, hypothetically. Putting down the message in the form of words also empowers us to keep our focus. It creates a list of items of what we want to achieve. And that also helps in the way that we move forward, because we keep asking the question around, what's the next thing I need to do to get that receptionist job? If I haven't got a resume written, I've got to write a resume. If I haven't got a reference, I've got to find a reference. You keep asking yourself the same similar questions around whatever that next step is. And by doing this, it's in the form of creating a list. And you give yourself a date. You give yourself a date that you'd like to achieve it by, and it could be 3 months, it could be 3 weeks. I've been in a situation where I was looking for part-time work. And I had done some voluntary work in the interim period because I couldn't get my mindset right at the point in time. There was a lot of stress happening for me. However, I made a decision and I wanted to catch up with a friend, and I said to myself, this friend will know or have a position at their work that will cater for my part-time job. That's all I said to myself. That was in my form of my list. I made that real firm statement in myself. So we met with Michelle, and while we're having a chat, and Michelle, I asked a question. Do you have any part-time work going? Sort of, but possibly more full-time work was what Michelle said. I don't really know of anybody else, but I'll keep my ears to the ground and open. And within 20 minutes of Michelle and my meeting finishing, Michelle was on the phone ringing me. And she said, Jan, you asked if I had any part-time work. She said, I completely forgot. We have a part-time job going at work. So we're looking for somebody who can do some research for us. It suited perfectly with my hours. It suited perfectly with the timelines of what I was wanting to do. She knew where I was, why I didn't want anything full-time. I'm now working for her 3 hours a day. So when you set the intention and it's firm, you make the belief and that it's possible for you, it's achievable.
Absolutely. And what you've been describing also is with the list is very much hooked up with goal setting and practical planning, which you've looked at, because you're putting down the list, you're being very specific with the list, but you're also looking at what you need to be putting into place. So it's like I say, you don't just put out to the universe, I want a job. You've got to meet the universe halfway. And what
Correct.
You're saying is with your lists, that's how you meet the universe halfway. You work it out, you plan it, and then you work out what you have to put into place to achieve that. Very powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Now, these are concepts in this are also available in your book, aren't they? You've got
yes.
templates
yes.
in there
yep.
in that respect. Okay.
It's a situation that the book is user-friendly, so you can download from the website of the World Youth Key the templates there and start putting some things in practice. You're only going to get the outline. The book will give you the further instruction.
Great. And whereabouts can they go to get that? Your website is?
Yes, my website is janmuir.com.au.
Okay. So if you want to go and get those templates from there and test it out, and then look at where you can get the book to put that into place, you can go there. Now, Jan, just moving a little bit away from your book for a moment,
yep.
I know that you mentioned Napoleon Hill. I know that he's been a great inspiration for you. However, I was wondering, apart from Napoleon Hill, who else has been an inspiration for you on your journey?
Oh, I'm going to have to say Mr. Bob Proctor. Bob Proctor, has been probably one of the bigger influences in my life. I was in a multi-level marketing group where they used to do training on You Are Born Rich. And in the process of You Are Born Rich, Bob interviews a young child regarding getting better school grades. And he takes him through a whole process, which is where the concept all came from. And I just enhanced it with my own view on that. But principles are exactly as was written, as was said in the video training of You Are Born Rich. I've listened to a lot of insights of Bob Proctor. I've met him personally in Brisbane. A very, very inspiring man. I try and follow him as much as possible where I can.
Thanks for sharing
John
that.
John Astoreth would also be another person that's been very influential. I've read three of his books, which I just can't put my fingers on at the moment. But, his work is very, very simple, and he explains things very, very clearly. Again, another inspirational man. He came to Brisbane, and I did have the opportunity to go in and speak to him personally. So, when you're able to do that on some of these big gurus, it really gives you a lift and a boost.
I think what came to me from that is a couple of words that you used all the way through that and also to what we've been speaking about is listen very carefully. And I think that's what we need to be aware of when we come across people's books like yours or people like Bob Proctor or John Ashworth or Napoleon Hill or any of the mentors or coaches that you might have in your life. The value of having those mentors and coaches and those people is being able to open your heart and listen carefully to take on board what works for you. I believe, and I think you've also said, we don't have to take everything on board, but there is always things that people in our lives come through that if we are open to it, they have information that can impact us.
Totally, totally. Look, one thing I learned very, very early in my personal growth and understanding, who I was as a person, and this was said to me in a very, very stressful time in my life, which is another book that's on the go. And this lady was a teacher and she had studied psychology, so she had a good understanding of what it is. And she shared with me concepts of how the mind worked, how the body reacted. And her words were, "What I teach you, you will teach on." Now,
powerful.
At the time I thought, Yeah, I thought at the time, how profound is that? How on earth would I ever teach on? I'm not your, you know, I'm not as clever as you. I'm not, you know, with a degree in psychology, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, rightio. And that's just where my mindset was at that point in time. Now, when Susie and I have a conversation, Susie will now ring me and say, Jan, what's your point of view or what's your outlook or what do you see for X, Y, Z? And we will now have a conversation where I am teaching Susie. So
and
I've
that
always...
Is,
yeah, go on.
That's it. And that is the power of mentoring and coaching and the power of opening your own self up to be a mentor or coach for others.
Correct. And I've actually shared that with several people that have, you know, had conversations with me, done a little bit of work, you know, and I've just been extra inspiration for them. And I always say, what I share and teach you, you will, you know, teach on. And again, people have looked at me and said, how can I do that? Just allow what you hear, what you take on board, what fits with you, what is comfortable with you, you will share that knowledge on. And it's an absolute beautiful ripple effect of how that movement just keeps moving forward.
I've got shivers up my spine with that because I think that just relates to everything we do in life. And if we are open to it, to take it through and then let it pass through ourselves and on to others, how powerful is that? Mm. That is really powerful. Mm. Okay, we're running down onto our time and we've got so much more that we could talk about. I think one of the things I'd like to ask you now, we could talk for hours on this, I know we could. I think that's one of the things I wanted to pull out from you at the moment. Was what's one of the main frustrations you've had since writing your book? Because it's not all light and roses and happy things, is it? There's always those frustrations. And sharing some of those very briefly might help others who are facing the same frustrations.
So are you saying from writing the book or having experienced the process of the writing of the book?
I think the process of it and then afterwards, I know, you know, marketing it, getting it out there.
Yeah.
What are some of the frustrations you felt? Because the book is like a marvellous thing that you do and then what happens?
Good question, Trish. Look, I'll go right to the very start. When I first wrote the version one, I just made a decision. I was going to do something. I sourced through the internet a editor who ended up being a local in person rather than anybody overseas because I thought I was going to put this in the hand of a ghostwriter. But this particular editor said, I want you to write and I'll edit. So that was a new experience. Having done that, I didn't understand what writing was at that point in time to be able to project my book in a very informative way and in a gentle way where the first version is very direct because that was where I was at that point in time. Then I managed to self-publish, happy with that, sold a couple of copies and that was good. And then I met a actual publisher and he took me through a completely different process and he said, I love the content of your book. It's a little bit blunt. Can you go back and write it again? That point in time, I had also crossed pathways with a English teacher at one of the colleges and she took me under her wing and she put me through the drill, for want of a better word. But the experience was the best experience because I got to understand what my writing style was. And now I've found that I'm in a completely different space and was able to bring this book into fruition with a much gentler approach. So sometimes the first edit may not necessarily be the last edit. I think from memory, I did about 5 edits of the second book. I did minimal in the first book because I thought I was right. But the second book, I probably did 5, maybe 6 edits. And, you know, you learn from all of that experience. The marketing side of things, yeah, that's another experience in itself because whilst you're not picked up by a distributor, you yourself have to sell the content. You yourself have to share that information out. And that's probably been the biggest challenge in my life because that's not my strongest point. However, if I'm doing something for somebody else, I can do it. I've got to now train myself that I'm doing it for somebody else, but I'm doing it for myself. So they're all challenges that we've faced in life, but until we actually make the congruent conversation with ourselves that we can do this, we will do this, and we take that next step. What is the next thing I need to do to move forward in this direction? So that's probably it in a nutshell. Just face every adversity with a positiveness.
Thank you. And I think that's something that many of the people out there who are thinking of writing a book, in the midst of writing a book, have written a book or got a great message, can take on board, is to just keep moving forward and learn from each challenge that gets there. Now, my last question to you that I thought we might check, a couple of last questions. Very briefly, what's probably your biggest lesson, insight that you've learned over the last period of writing the book, your life, where you are now?
That anything I set my mind to, I can achieve. If I believe it, I can achieve it, which is what is the name of my business. I believe I achieve. And it's a brilliant message, because when we sit with something inside of us that we know is right for us, I mean, I'm tapping my hand, I know it's right. I feel really comfortable writing. It's when you get whatever that passion is within you and feel it, know it, breathe it, drink it, everything, and do something towards that every day. Do one thing every day towards that end goal.
Thank you for sharing that, and I absolutely agree. My last question for you, what do you think makes a great speaker and why?
Oh, good grief, Trish. Okay, I think somebody who is passionate about what they have to share, because when we know that we have a message, all we want to do is get that message out there. And I think it's a situation of being... through the experience, we're able to share that to humanity in a way that nobody feels threatened by it. Everybody can learn from the actual experience. Everybody can take on one snippet, a bit of information that is shared from a really good speaker, and that'll help to propel you to the next level. If you pick up two, what a bonus. If you pick up three, how great is that? But by listening to the speaker and the speaker being very passionate about their end result is an inspiration for the listener.
And thank you for sharing that with us, Jan. This brings us to our close to our time to finish. Jan, one more time, where can they find out more information about your book and your books that are coming? If you'd like to just let us know.
Yes, it's all on www.janmuir.com.au. There's a tab inside there called The Well-Used Key, Purchase of the Book. There's a tab there for downloading of the templates and that are also available. So www.janmuir.com.au. Or they can find me under author Jan Muir on Facebook and personal message me.
Absolutely. And Jan does have, as I said, 7 books on the go at the moment. So keep an eye out on her website or on her Facebook page if you connect with her there for the timeline when those books are going to be coming out, and we look forward to hearing them. Thanks very much, Jan, for being with
us
today.
Thank you.
We could have talked for hours more on goal setting and focus and meditation, because we align very much on those areas. Okay, to finish up today's show, I'm going to share with you one of my favorite quotes. And it's amazing what the universe does, because it is very much in line with what Jan's been speaking about. With the passion and her comments about speakers and about finding and being congruent to yourself. This quote goes, "There is no greater agony than bearing an untold story inside you." And that's by Maya Angelou. And I think what we've been talking about all the way through is being congruent to yourself, finding that untold story. Whether that untold story is for you as a teenager or a child, determining where you want to go in your life and being strong to go there, or whether it's the untold story we have that we need to unlock and share with people, either through our writing as an author or through getting up and speaking and coming out from behind the computer as an introvert, or whether it is as an advocate being passionate about a message that you stand up and share. Those untold stories need to be shared with people, because you never know just who your story could touch. You never know what a difference a few words from your story could make in someone else's life. Your story could be the catalyst for someone to grow and share their story, which is congruent with what we've been talking about, the ripple effect and teaching on. So that's my quote for you today. Be aware of your untold stories and share them with people. You've been listening to Trish Springsteen on my live show, Step Up and Speak Out with Trish. If you'd like to contact me, either to know more information about how I can help you with your untold stories, or with a question for next week's show, contact me on info@trishel, trishel.com.au. Connect with me on Facebook. My business page is Trishel Innovative Communication Training. You can connect with me, PM me there, or go to my website to claim a complimentary strategy session. And that website is trishspringsteen.com. You've been listening to Step Out, Speak Out with Trish. We've been talking with Jan Muir. I hope your rest of your evening or your day, if you're in Australia, is absolutely amazing. And I look forward to sharing more information and guest speakers on my next show. Take care and have an awesome time.
I can do anything. I can reach any goal today. I can do what I want. I can be what I want to be.
Coach on Fire Radio.
Thanks, Jan. Talk to you later.
Oh, okay, Trish. Bye.
Bye. Mm.